Okay, so let's learn. Rabbi, so let's learn. We are in the middle of the Pesuk of Yamim al Yimei Melech Tosef. Okay, those are some powerful words. Okay, let's learn. Let's learn a little bit of Yom Yimei Melech. Let's review this. Let's just finish this up, and then we'll go. We'll see. Pasuk. Last week we went through these last couple of psukim. We went through the pasuk of pasuk vav to the very end. We just really got very involved in Yomim Al Yimei Melech Tosef, which is very good. But we didn't do the Rashi's. Let's recap, and then we'll just do a few little things and go next. We'll see. Let's see how it goes. Pasuk vav. Pasuk vav is. Idrai. Yohamin, that song is so popular. I mean, they only sing it for certain people. Pause page 532. Let's review these last few psukim. Ki atalakim shamata lin dora. You Hashem have listened to my vows, which we explained last week to mean that my tsoros. It's a metaphor for you Hashem have listened, acknowledged my tsoros. Person, Rachman, listen, a person has tsoros. And the reason why the word lin dorai is a metaphor or is a code word for a difficult matzav in life is because mikan shenoidrin be'ez tzara. When a person, Rachman al-Litzlan, is in a difficult matzav, there is a principle, a person should make a neder. Hashem, if you will help me, I will help me get out of this difficulty. I pledge, I will you give me a parking spot, then I won't talk during Chazar Sashatz. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shehakol Nehyeh B'dvaroi. Okay, Shamato Lindoroi. You've listened to my vows, you've acknowledged my tzorois, and you've listened to my vows, and you have, basically, you have granted me success. Nasata Yerushas. You have given Yerushas. And then we added a lot of words, and according to the Mitzvah stuff, you've given the Eretz Yisrael as a Yerusha to Yirei Shemecha, to those who fear your name. This in and of itself is a very fascinating insight, is what is getting Eretz Yisrael to do with being Yiras Hashem? Just the fact that Hashem made Haftacha to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Of course, you have to be Yirei Shemayim, but over here, it's a condition. In order to possess Eretz Yisrael, you must be a Yorei Shamayim. This pasuk opens up a whole new insight, a whole new dimension to appreciating Melchemes Amalek. Because when Klal Yisrael began to travel in the Midbar, where were they traveling? Kriyas Yamsuf was done. Okay, so therefore, we're out of here. We have been spared from the Egyptians. The Egyptians are dead. They're on the seashore, dead, done. Now, what's next? Look at the nation of Saudi Arabia. They've built a very impressive country in the desert. No? Isn't Saudi Arabia, it's a massive empire, very, very wealthy, oil reserves. They found themselves some asset. They made out of lemonade. Literally living, the land of Saudi Arabia is literally in the middle of nowhere, nowhere of nowhere, and they're super rich.
In large parts of it still are.
And it's incredible. You can't. And how did this happen? For money, you can do anything. For money, they have oil. Hashem gave them oil. Sell to the whole world. The money just comes in like a fire hydrant. They can manipulate the whole world. They can fadrei azoy and azoy. And when money comes in, you can literally get enough money. You can go to the moon. You can go build a whole colony on the moon. We all know. So maybe Klal Yisrael should do the same thing. After Yitzias Mitzrayim, after the Egyptians have been eliminated, why didn't Klal Yisrael become the new Saudi Arabia? And believe me, they would have made it even nicer. They would have made Saudi Arabia even nicer, fancier hotels, and better swimming pools, and better Pesach programs. And we want to welcome from Eretz Yisrael. He's sitting in a sukkah. Look at this, Meir Appeldorf, the Rebbe Alein. He's sitting in a mamish in a sukkah. A schach, you gotta go see this online. And we want to welcome the one and only Tamari Appeldorf. Tamari, Shalom Aleichem, hello. She's waving to us. You're in the sukkah, you're at the wrong holiday. Why are you in the sukkah when it's Pesach? Mayor is always a little mixed up, you know.
This is a
The Wi-Fi, I can't hear you. The Wi-Fi there in where you are is not the shlach. You're in the center of technology. They can't get a good Wi-Fi connection over there. I can't hear you. You're frozen here. You need a better Wi-Fi. When your Wi-Fi gets better, you'll tell us. I can't hear you. I still can't hear. Mashiach's time. You're sitting in the sukkah. In the sukkah in nice weather. Okay, what time is it by you?
It's 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Not bad. 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Beautiful hot day. We're waiting for the Sudas Leviathan.
The Sudas Leviathan in the hot sukkah. Okay, very, very nice. Think about you. Thanks. You had a good Shabbos, a Godel Joshua on Shabbos?
Very good. I slept right through it.
You slept right through the Shabbos. Nothing different there. It's just all in America.
I went to sell my chametz today.
Who did you sell your chametz to?
To the Rabbanut, to the local Rabbah. I went to the local Rabbah's Unical Council, gave me a sheet. I said, what do I have to pay? He said, you don't have to pay nothing. The guy has to pay.
But what about, but they're going to buy it back for you on when it's going to still be Yom Tov in America. If you sold to an Israeli rabbi, yeah.
They say you're an Eretz Yisrael. They make a difference.
Yeah, but you own Chametz in Chutz La'aretz. You own Chametz in Chutz, and they're going to buy back your Chametz when it's still Pesach. What? It's a tough question. It's not so simple. It's not so simple. If they're going to buy it back for you, they're going to buy it back for you on Pesach. In America, the location where your chametz exists is in Chutz La'aretz, and Chutz La'aretz, it's going to be Pesach. Even though you are in Eretz,
the chametz itself doesn't have Zabaylim,
right? Ask the rabbi. Azoy and Azoy, you can say like this, you can say like that.
This is what they said to me.
They said it's fine.
It
all depends if you ask an Israeli rabbi or ask an American rabbi. The American rabbis, they say the Iker is America. An Israeli, this is always, this is a classic thing rabbis say. You go to Eretz, how many days does a person who lives in Chutz La'aretz, do you keep 2 days or do you keep 1 day? So this is the rule. If you ask an American rav, even a real Haredi rav, it's a 95% chance that an American rav, and no matter what the conditions are, You're asking me, Avada, 2 days? 2 days? You go to Eretz Yisrael, ask any Israeli rav. Same conditions. Of course, 1 day. Eretz Yisrael is the Ikar. The Rabbanim are influenced by their where they live. If you were living in America, the rav's going to tell you to keep 2 days. And if you live in Eretz Yisrael, they're going to say, of course, they're going to get insulted. Yes, because there's an Israeli rav, they'll get insulted. What are you talking about? Eretz Yisrael, you're here, and Eretz Yisrael, Eretz HaKodesh. You keep 1 day. What's the shaila? It's a machlek, it's a paiskim. But you're going to get, it all depends on you. All right, let's learn a little bit. Rabbi Yisrael, here's our question. Our question over here is, this is the point. Okay, Dr. Dov, here's our question. Over here, the Klai Yisrael, they come out of Eretz Yisrael. Okay, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Hashem promised them Eretz Yisrael. No, this Mashiach is also supposed to come. Mashiach will come in the end of days, right? Mashiach is going to come. So who says now we have to have Eretz Yisrael? During the time of the Bayis Rishon, in the height of Shlomo HaMelech, when Shlomo HaMelech each tachas gaf and tachas tenosai, was the world complete? Absolutely not. Even in the best of times, when there was the Beis HaMikdash, and Klal Yisrael was dominant, did Mashiach come? Was there a Mashiach? No. The world was still incomplete. So maybe we're not entitled to take Eretz Yisrael until Mashiach comes. Okay, what a crazy question I'm asking.
No, you're a Saba Rebbe.
Saba Rebbe didn't go so far. He didn't say such an extreme thing, Saba Rebbe. Never. But is it... We're not allowed to. We don't have Eretz Yisrael, not even to live there, garnished. Eretz Yisrael, it's not our land. We should remain in Saudi Arabia. We came out of Mitzrayim. We went into the Saudi Arabian desert, according to some opinions. And we should set up. It's Hefker. We should go create there, like the same with the Saudi Arabia today. We'll go and we'll live there. Who gives us the right to go with Eretz Yisrael? We need a Melech HaMashiach. Obviously, the Torah tells us not like that. Moshe Rabbeinu going to Eretz Yisrael, v'chulu v'chulu. But the point I want to make over here is, in order to go into Eretz Yisrael, over here it says over here in this pasuk, you need Yirah Shemayim. Ki atalakim shematal in the right, nasata yirushas yirei to who? To the Yirei Shemecha. The first battle, after we left Egypt, and we came out and we were in the desert, and now we're going to go to Eretz Yisrael, our Yirah Shemayim was tested. How? Amalek. The first battle, the first one to attack us, as we first began our very first trip to go to Eretz Yisrael, was Asher Korcha Baderech Vayizanev B'cho Kol Hanecha Sholim Acharecha V'yato Oyev Yogea V'lo Yorei Elokim. Who are the words V'lo Yorei Elokim going on? Amalek or Klal Yisrael? Both. It's Machlokes Rishonim. Elu ve'elu divri elokim chaim is going on both. What's the pshat? The first milchama in the desert is about v'lo yorei elokim. We're not yorei shemayim. Amalek is not yorei shemayim. And Hashem is coming to remind us. Motzah min esminoi. What's the pshat? Now, let's, you know, there are other battles we fought. There are other problems. There were many things Amalek could happen in the middle of the 40 years. It could happen much later on. Why the very first thing? To teach you. Here you are in the desert. Why don't you just stay put? Stay put right now and live here in the desert. Are you deserving to come into Eretz Yisrael? The moment that we picked up our feet and started to travel into Eretz Yisrael, Hashem said, wait a minute, where are you going? Where do you think you're going? You're going to Eretz Yisrael. Maybe all of the haftachas that I've given you in the Torah to Eretz Yisrael is when Mashiach comes. Wait 3,000 years when Mashiach will come, and then you'll go to Eretz Yisrael. You want to go take Eretz Yisrael right now? You got to be Yerush Shemayim. The moment we picked up our feet to walk in, to travel, to journey to Eretz Yisrael, wait a minute. Are you a Yerush Shemayim? How do you know what I'm telling you is correct? Because of this pasuk. Okay, you can't bring a riot from this pasuk, but l'chor, the idea is here. Ki atlakim shemata linda ragnosata yirushas, you've given Eretz Yisrael, the inheritance of the land, to who? To Yirei Shemecha. This is a tenai, and that is why in the very beginning we had to be Yirei Shemecha in order to be able to bezuch to proceed to Eretz Yisrael. Now, yamim al yimei melech tais. Okay, then we learned, David over here was referring to himself, which is very bizarre, and very bizarre, that David would refer to himself, he calls himself, I'm the Melech. Days, al yimei, Melech, Taisiv, Shnoisav, may his years be, kimoy dor v'dav. There's a lot of interesting mepharshim, which we're going to do inside soon. And basically, just coming to air, ask Hashem that days shall be added to the king. Days, on the days of the king you shall add. And Shnoisav, his years should be kimo, like dor v'dor, like a generation. And how much is that? The next pasuk, Yeshev Oilam, may he sit forever. And we learned last week, the word Oilam is defined based on its context. And since here it says Dor Vodor, a generation, what is a generation? 70 years. Thus, the word Oilam here means 70 years. Oilam sometimes can mean 50 years, like by Yovel. Sometimes it can mean forever. It can mean till the end of days, 6,000 years, whatever this means. Sometimes it can mean going backwards. It depends on its context. Here, Olam means 70 years because it says over the word Dar V'dar. Lifnei Elokim, Chesed Ve'emes, Man Yintziruhu. The kindness and the truth shall the kindness and truth of Hashem, Man means to prepare, should prepare Yintziruhu, that he be guarded. Let's see the mitzvah stuff again in that pasuk. Look at the word chesed v'yemes. Chaste ha'makam v'amitas haftachaser, the kindness of Hashem and the truth of his promise, yemzumun should be prepared l'shamroi, to guard the melech ha'mashiach, the melech, min ha'oyev mibli milchama, should guard him that there should not be wars. It's a much greater thing not to have a war than to have a war. Okay, then he goes on to say, we did this little thing. They detail Kein Azamu L'Shmecha La'ad L'Shalmi Nidorai Yoim Yoim. And then he goes on to say is that, why Hashem should I have to have a Melchama and then make a Neder and then survive and thank you after I went to the war? You know what? Tfila Kodem Letzara. I might as well praise you in advance, and by praising you in advance, I won't need to go through the difficult matzav that comes with it. I'll give you in advance Shabbach. Okay, we spoke about this at great length last week. I just want to add to that what we also spoke about a while ago is this custom of saying Nishmas. Okay, over here he wrote the Nishmas. Today, there are people that do this a lot. It's a different world today. People never did this years ago. When a person has a tzara, so they tell you, you should say Nishmas. An advance payment is why, if a person sees on the horizon a very difficult matzav, so you know what? Don't wait until it comes and go through with it and then survive and then say Nishmas. Why don't you just say Nishmas right now? Open up the Siddur on a Tuesday morning, a Monday morning at 10 o'clock and read Nishmas with all of the kavana you can muster and recite Nishmas. Ki'ilu, this whole tzara came to an end. And this will be a, I don't like the word, but I have no other word to say, a skula that this whole problem shouldn't even begin. A person has a child on the market, he's in Shidduchim, and he begins to scratch the surface of how he's going to find a zivug for his child, and he basically goes out of his mind. He sees that this system they have today in place is a nightmare. It's worse than a nightmare. There aren't even no words. So what am I going to do? I don't stand a chance in surviving, in getting through this. So tell the person, don't worry. Instead of, you know, somehow maneuvering and getting through it, and then a miracle will happen, and after all the difficulty and the pain, things work out, and then you'll say, oh, hoidu l'Hashem ki tov ki liyolam chas. Why don't you say Nishmas today? Before you even call the Shadchan, before you even, you know, make a resume, before you do anything, say Nishmas, make believe the solution already happened. And that will be a skula, okay, that you will not have to go through the unpleasantness of what goes on in this world. Cain, so David here says exactly this. Cain, why Hashem should I have to go have tzorois and then make a neder to survive? I might as well give you the neder in advance. Cain, so to Azamara Shimcho Lo'ad, I'll sing to you forever, L'shalmi Nidorai, so that I will pay off my vows, Yoim Yoim, every day in advance. Okay, and we learned this last week. That's the Cain, that's what the word Cain, and instead of going through the difficulty, I'll do this in advance. This one thing, Harun, I was thinking this over, that came to me, whether it's right or wrong, I don't know. Probably definitely wrong, but still, I'll tell it to you because maybe there's some other application where it makes sense. Is it really so easy? Is it really so easy that a person can say Nishmas in advance and Hashem will, you know, smooth things over? Take care of things. And it's all the same. So I want to say, no, it's not. I want to say over here, and it says this idea in the Pasuk, the way the Mitzvot and Rashi learn, L'shalmi nidorai yoim yoim. When you go down this path, you have to give Shevach every single day forever for the rest of your life. In other words, the average person doesn't do this. The average person, you got a problem, I got a problem. I got to deal with it. And you deal with it responsibly, and it's painful. And then, hopefully, the day comes when a miracle happens, and you get through it. What do you do then? You go to shul, and you give tikkun, and you say, Hoidu l'Hashem ki tov ki liolam chasto, and you sing nishmas, and then, I'm done. And now we go to Florida. Now we go to Eretz Yisrael, in a good way. We go on vacation. I got through it. I thanked Hashem sincerely. And every year, we always thank Hashem. But, and you do it once. Hashem, you saved me. I brought my neder. I'm finished. I've done mine. You know, you never finished, of course, but you feel comfortable that you repay. But if a person gets an advance, you gotta pray, you gotta say nishmas every single day for the rest of your life. There's no free lunch. There's no free lunch. It's like you know, there's
on the other hand,
yeah.
The idea of, you know, doing it any number of times and, like, so to speak, banking it, that doesn't make sense.
I'll give you an example. Person goes to a doctor. This is a real example. A person goes to the doctor, says, you have a problem. We can do one of two things. We can do a very painful and difficult procedure, and the chances are, statistically speaking, you'll be okay. But it's going to be, you're going to go through a very nice ordeal to get through this, but you'll be okay. It'll be okay. In a year from now, you'll be fine, but it's going to be, and then it'll be like it never happened. Or you don't have to go through this procedure, but you have to take medication for the rest of your life. We're going to put you on a medication. You're going to be taking this for the rest of your life, for the next, your life expectancy is to live another 50 years. Every single day for the next 50 years, you're going to take this medication, and you will not have to go through this procedure. So now, this is not a theoretical case. It's not really anything real. So what would a person choose? I don't know. You can't, you know, I tell you, it's not a theoretical case. Same thing over here. A person can go, Tfila Koidem Letzar. Hashem, I'm going to say Nishmas in advance. The pasuk here says, Kena Zamer Shimcha Lo'ad, forever. L'shalmi Nidorai Yom Yom. The pasuk here is talking about a Tfila Koidem Letzar. I am going to go and thank you in advance, so that I do not have to go through this difficult matzav. Yeah, but if you're going to do it that way, you're going to have to thank Hashem and say nishmas every single day the rest of your life. You know, that's hard. That's quite a commitment. It's a very powerful commitment to do that to the rest of your life. It's not so easy. On the other hand, a person doesn't look into the future. I'm not saying look into the future. A person doesn't. We never heard about these type of things. A person, you live your life, and whatever Hashem gives you, you deal with. And then, if you survive, you thank Hashem. That's like a more natural way that most people live their life. They don't go and start making cheshbonos and think too difficult what's going to be, and they start saying nishmas, looking for segulas. You live your life. And if you have a difficult matzav, so you mispalo, you get through it, and you thank Hashem, and you give a big donation to a tzedakah, that you value, and you thank Hashem, and you do your best to reciprocate, and that's it, it's over. Here it says, it just hits me, where it says, Nidurai Yom Yom. I know someone who was very, very sick. Baruch Hashem is much, much better now. But he went to Rav Chaim Kanievsky a number of years ago, and he told him the story, and Rav Chaim told him that basically you have to learn a certain thing, basically every single day. Every single day you have to learn this certain, and like he told me, it's tremendous commitment. Like you know, every day I shall learn every single day to learn this and learn it again and again and again. I have other things I want to learn. Not the person's not running away from Hashem. The person is an oyved Hashem. He's a servant of Hashem. But when you have a commitment, it weighs on you, even if you enjoy the commitment. Okay, a person that's already overwhelmed with commitments to daven three times a day with the minyan the proper way. Wow, that's quite a commitment to come 5 minutes early to mincha. Try to get someone to make a commitment that you're going to come. Person who davens mincha every single day. Okay, a person who davens with the minyan every day. Make a commitment. You have to come every single day for the next year, 5 minutes early to mincha. Try to get someone to do that. Okay, someone goes to Rav Chaim tells some person to do that. Woohoo! You know, maybe I should just, I have a problem. I go to Rav Chaim, I have a problem. Rav Chaim says, you got a problem? To avoid the problem, come to Mincha 5 minutes early for the next year. Maybe it'll be better I won't go to Rav Chaim. Let the problem happen. I'll deal with it. I'll deal with the problem. It'll be very unpleasant. But, you know, it'll be over within a week or two. And then Olam Kimin Hago Nohog, and I'll daven mincha. I'll come early. I won't come early. I won't daven mincha. I'll daven with a minion, without a minion. I'm a religious person. I'm going to daven mincha. But the commitment is hard. It's a hard commitment. Yeah. What would a person choose?
Well, we've often heard that men are commitophobic, right?
Absolutely. So what would a person prefer to do? What is a healthy approach in life? To overwhelm a person with commitments is not necessarily productive. It can be overwhelming. I don't know if what I'm saying is correct. But over here, we learned last week at length, is the beginning of this section and the end of this section. There is a problem. I'm in war. They're about to kill me. Here I am. I'm afraid for my life. It's traumatic. This is going to affect this collateral damage. When a person goes through trauma, he's going to have nightmares the rest of his life. There's no way about it. So what do I do? I'm here in a foxhole. And I say, Hashem, I'm making neder. Oh, Hashem, save me. And now I'm going to come to the Beis HaMikdash. I'm going to bring the most expensive carbon. I'm going to dedicate a whole week of my life to thank Hashem. Finished. Done. Life back, business back to regular life. I daven, I learn, I serve Hashem. This episode is over. Maybe once in a while we'll have a sudasai. On the anniversary we'll think about it. Or, end of the mizmar, you know, Hashem, I don't even want to go to war. I want to sit home in my house, relax, and instead of going through this trauma, I'll sing to you Hallel. It's so easy. It's so easy. There's no trade-off. You can just say Nishmas today, and that's it. Maybe, yeah, if that's what the Chazal tell us, fine. Or maybe over here, when it says this principle, it says over here, Kena Zamer Shimcha Lo'ad, forever, L'shalmi Nidarai Yoim Yoim. When it starts in the beginning, it says over here, Ki'ata L'kim Shamata Lindoroi, finished. Nasata Yerushas Yirei Yirei Shemecha. It doesn't say over here that his Nedarim are going to go on La'ad forever and ever, Yoim Yoim. How do these things work? Well, no one came back from the other side to tell us how these things work. And this Mizmar, the way the Mefarshim learn, and we spent a lot of time last week, clearly talk about this principle of a cash advance. You know, you get an advance. You have to go give a shevach in advance. But look at the terminology. Terminology, when you're getting something, there's a principle. There's no such thing as a free lunch. And today we live in a world where we don't believe that. We mamish don't believe that there's real accountability. Baruch Hashem, we're very, very spoiled. In the secular world, you can get away with almost anything. Just who you know, what you know, how much you got to pay. There's always a way to get away with everything. So that somehow translates and affects our ruchnius. Yeah, we'll do an avera today because we got plenty of time. We got plenty of time to do teshuva. It's only Pesach now. If we're really worried, we'll do teshuva. So today we can loosen up and do things that we would ordinarily be embarrassed to do, that we would never do these things Erev Yom Kippur. But today it's not Erev Yom Kippur, so today we can get away with it. There's no quite every single person today in this world lives with that. Because Baruch Hashem was spoiled. We live in a world where we don't have accountability. And I always wondered, maybe that's the reason why today in our generation we don't have people, we don't have the caliber of people of the previous generation. Who is to say that a person today cannot become a Rav Moshe Feinstein? Who is to say a person today cannot become a Chazon Ish? Really? Really? We're so shvach? We're so weak? We don't have a moon that could spread with a person of Siyat HaShemaya? How come you don't see people of that caliber? Is it really? He used to always say this is one of his famous things. Is of Shmuel or Arbach, Zechet Tzadik Levracha. He always doesn't say anywhere that there's a halacha of Yeridas Hadoyres. It doesn't have to be. This that Chazal said, Niskatnu Hadoyres, is just an observation of what has happened. But it's not a halacha. It's a halacha. It's a din that if you're doing too good, if you're reaching a point in time where that your knowledge is shakel equal to the knowledge of your Yirah Shemayim. Let's see, the Yirah Shemayim is getting close to the Yirah Shemayim of your grandfather. Oh, you got to stop. Stop. Emergency. Can't. You're not allowed. You're not allowed to be a Yirah. You're not allowed to be a Yirah Shemayim like your grandfather. Can't. Usser, you're going to violate the genetic engineering. Genetic engineering. If a person will become too much of your... We don't have these problems, by the way. We don't have these problems. But let's say you have this attitude in a person's mind. It's not... Who says? This is Rav Shmuel Auerbach. This is one of his pet peeves. What does it say, such a thing? It's because... you can be. You can be. You just don't want. So, Taka, why are we not? Because we know all these stories of what it was like in the previous generations, where the, you get if the government would audit you, if the government would audit you, they say, you know, your tax return is not in order, you would turn white. Okay, Rav Moshe Feinstein, when he was audited, they say when he was audited by his tax return, they say he went today. He says waste of what today. What do you mean, waste of time? He was audited. He was audited, and they say that he was terrified. I don't know the exact.
That's a cultural thing. Because
he went through Russia. He went through Russia, and one day he was the Rav, and when they brought him, when they told him, come to the police, they summoned him to come to the police department, and then they would kill him. And when they interrogated him, in a second, They could have shot him and he would have disappeared. And he said the pacha that he had when he stood in front of these he didn't move, he didn't shake, he didn't twitch.
That was a reflex.
Because it was real. Because there was accountability. There was accountability.
That's why
he was who he was.
That's why we're different. American different.
So it has mylois and chisroinois.
Who grew up in Europe.
Mylois and chesroinois. You can't say worse, but we would never want to go back to that type of life. Never, never.
Right.
But that...
You mentioned what Tom Best way when he darbened.
Straight. Because he remembered that he was standing in front of the officers in Russia when they interrogated him, and he noticed that he did not move. He was so terrified. And he said, if this is how I behave, lefnei a melech bosa v'dam, there was no free money in those days. There were no entitlements, and people had to work very, very hard. And that translates into a person's mindset. When it comes to ruchnis, it's no different. And there is accountability, and there's no free lunch. So when you take that concept and you tell a person you have a problem, on the horizon you see there's a problem coming. So you know what? I'm going to take out nishmas, and I'm going to read nishmas, and I get a free lunch. I get a free lunch. It's really so easy. Is that the way it works? If it is, im kabbalei nikabel. But there's something's not right. There's something not right. It can't be that in ruchnius everything is a freebie. There's accountability. Chazal said that a person in the olam ha'emes, I forgot the nuschos, on every single thing there is a din v'cheshvan. There is no such thing as a free lunch. Here we talk about this principle of a tefillah koydim the tzarim, so you don't got to deal with the issue. Is that really the way it goes? These are theoretical concepts for us. This whole thing is totally not negated in the real world, these things. But if you want to deal with it theoretically, it's interesting how it works. And then what it says here, lo'ad, and there's an emphasis of yoim yoim. All right, let's take a look at the Rashis on this thing over here of Yom Al-Yemei Melchez. There's some interesting things over here, very interesting things about the word man, and about what exactly we are praying for to have long longevity. Now, by the way, we quoted last week the Medrash with the Medrash that Dov is saying about himself, and Dov was only meant to live for 3 hours. Hoshana shaloi shois. Hoshana. Mary Apple Dov is in the sukkah. He's doing the reason why he's in the sukkah online is because he's saying Hoshanas. Why is he saying Hoshanas? Because today we're doing this pasuk. The pasuk says Yom Agmei Melech Taisev Shnois Dov Kamoi Dar V'Dar. David was only meant to live for 3 hours. And he was mispalel, air days. I'm supposed to be the melech. I need some more time to live. I need to live a generation. So who came to the rescue? Who came to the rescue? He's now looking, who came to the rescue? Adam. Adam said, you could have 70 years from me. Freebie. 70 years. Not a freebie. The years, Hashem is choyte chayim l'chol choy. Hashem gives out slices of life. And if it's not meant for you, you have to take someone else's slice of life. Choytech chayim l'chol choy. A slice of life. And David, Adam HaRishon gave Adam 70 years. Now here's the problem. It says in this pasuk, Yomim days, Al Yimei Melech. David did not even have one day to live. And here it says, add Yomim on the days. So how could this pasuk apply to David HaMelech when David was not even meant to live one day? He was only meant to live 3 hours. Hayishana Shalosh Shois Hayishana. 3 hours. And he's asking, Hashem, I'm only supposed to live a couple of days, so you might as well give me, throw me a bone and give me 70 years. But here it says, Yimei, which implies that David was going to live at least for Yimei, at least a couple of days. Now, by the way, that medrash I told you that Adam was supposed to live from David, that's machlokes. Because another medrash that tells that all the people who lived, all of the Yishei HaTanach who lived less than they were supposed to, and if you add up their years, it comes out to 70. Who are they? Right, there was Yitzchak.
Abraham was short 5.
Yitzchak
lived his whole life. Yaakov was 33.
So
33 plus 5 is 38,
and then there was one more person who was supposed to live longer. Was it Yosef? Maybe he lived 110. He was the youngest of the brothers. There was another
Yosef
person.
Lost 10.
There's only 48. 48. There was someone that was supposed to live. I don't remember. Three people. There's a medrash that says that David got the lost years of Avraham. He was supposed to live 5 more years, Avraham, and Yaakov was supposed to live 33 more years, Ma'at Viroim, and then there was someone else that was supposed to live longer, and the combination, those numbers add up to 70, and it went to David, not Adam HaRishon. So why then did Adam HaRishon lose 30 years, 70 years? I don't know. There's a conflicting midrash. Okay, but here it talks about this thing is Yamim Al Yimei Melech Tosef Shnoisef Kamo Davidar. Now, do we do the Rashi? I don't even know. Let's do the Rashi. Rashi is Nosata Yerusha Sirei Shemecha. We did this Rashi. Hechzar to Ari Yerusha Smol. We did that. Yamim Melech Tosef Im Nigzar Olai Lamus Bachur Hois. We did this. Hois of Yamim Al Yomai. Ad sheshnasai yushim shanu kamo shnei davidar pasachesh yeshiv hamelach liolam lufnei elokim chesav yemes shuhu oisik bohem. Oh, this we didn't do. This we did not yet do. Okay, so chesed ve'emes. The Mitzilis David taught us that the chesed and the emes is the subject of these two words is the ribayna shalolam, the kindness and the midah amitis of Hashem, that he keeps his promises. Hashem promised that David would be the Melech, is what is going to be prepared to guard David that he should survive his difficulties. Rashi appears to disagree with this. Rashi says it's in the merit. Chesed v'emes, shehu oisek bohem, yihyu, no, maybe not, maybe, I don't know what Rashi means. Should be prepared, yihyu, mizumonim linotzroi, to guard him. So is the subject of Rashi's Chesed Emes Hashem, possibly, maybe likely, or maybe it means, this is a Jewish, it means that the Chesed and the Emes of David, of the Melech, David here is referring to himself in third person. Yomim al Yimei Melech. Days upon the Yimei Melech. So then, according to Rashi, it would mean that in the merit that I practice kindness and I engage in the midah of emes, this should serve for me as a merit. It should be prepared for me. Like, let's use a similar term to prepared. It should be prepared to serve as a protection, a merit that I should live a long life. There's no freebie. David said, I'm not just going to live for nothing. I have to have merit. The merit, the purpose I have to live is I am busy engaging in chesed. I am a practitioner of emes. And this now is the catalyst, is the fuel, it is the source of merit that you, Hashem, that I will be guarded to live a long, successful, productive life here in this world. There's no free lunch. You don't, okay, Hashem gives life, and that's it. You just sit around, and you live it out to the end. What's this? Every person has to ask themselves, in what schus do I have to be alive? Obviously, being alive, there's a purpose. There's some benefit. Even just sitting around and doing nothing. That's what they tell us. Chayisha. Just sit around and look at the walls. Just the fact that you are here in this world, you don't realize how much you're taking in. You don't realize how much activity is happening just being alive and doing absolutely nothing. The fact that you're in this world somehow does an incredible tikkun to your neshama, to the neshama. So here, like, no, they say today, I give you a mosque, they say today, people have a computer. So all these computers, they literally have a life of their own. So you buy a computer, all of a sudden, one day you wake up, you look at the computer, oh, it upgraded. I bought the computer, it had installed Windows version 10. And now, lo and behold, it has Windows version 11. Who put this on here? Who put on Windows version 11? It upgraded by itself. It was connected to the shul's internet, and it decided on its own to upgrade and downloaded gigabytes of information and reinstalled. Who told you to do this? And they say, if you know what's going on in Windows 11, it is communicating, it is doing things secretly, and they show what you wouldn't believe. You wouldn't believe what's going on behind the scenes when your computer is on Windows 11. It is watching you. It's not a conspiracy theory. It is watching you. It is monitoring your keystrokes. It knows what time of the day you're busy, what time that you're not busy. It monitors everything that you do. It monitors the environment. But it's not doing anything. I'm looking at the screen. It's boring. You don't know what's really going on behind the scenes. This is a mashal for the neshama. The neshama here is in this world. At every moment the neshama is online in this world, it's upgrading, updating, upgrading, doing things behind the scenes that you can't even begin to imagine to be alive. So now, a person should ask himself, what's chus? In what schus do I have to live another day and just experience this world? And also, you know, I think the very interesting about being alive is you see mida keneged mida. Maybe you don't appreciate what you're seeing, but in the next world, the experience. Every day that you live in this world and you hear the news, we forget. Or you see events, things happen, and Hashem shows you things. Whether you like it, just walking down the street. And we unfortunately do not connect the dots, but our neshama does, and you are witnessing mida keneged mida. You're witnessing kiva davasher zodo lehem, that if you remember, 30 years ago an event happened, and now 30 years later it came full cycle. Shlach lachem chal pnei hamayim ki b'roiv yamim emtzaena. There are cycles, and every day you live without even realizing. Subconsciously, you're witnessing cycles concluded. So true. You know, you see people, like you see the next generation. You see people, you know, who struggle in one generation. You see their children. You always see, and we only consciously see a tip of the iceberg. But subconsciously, our neshama senses, and this is a very great tikkun for the neshama to witness the amita, the emes of Hashem. That's just being alive. What zuchus does a person have to live another day? What did you do? What choice did you make, b'chira chavshis, to live another day in order to have this experience? So Rashi seems to say that David said, you need a zuchus. The zuchus is chesed, and to be a practitioner of emes. Chesed v'yameshu hu oisek bohem. If the whole mizmar is speaking in third person, David is talking about himself. He's saying the chesed and the emes, the melech is busy with. Yihiyu mizumanim should be prepared linotzroi to guard him, to protect him from harm. Man is hazmanok mo v'yaman Hashem kikoyon. Now here's a question which I don't know the answer to. Maybe our experts here in the field, Rabbi Mayevsky, Rabbi Dr. Dov, Rav Michal, and Rav Baruch, Mr. Cohen, I don't want to insult all the people that I leave out. Heshi, the two Heshis. Heshis, the Shnei Heshis, and Jack and the Beanstalk. Just joking. Sorry, doctor. How can I say that I'm a doctor? Who did I leave out? I reached Shol Silver, Mr. Silver. And what is the difference between the word yin of the word lenotzroi and the word amogain? Lenotzroi means to guard, right? Isn't the word yin tziru lenotzroi is to protect him, to guard? Isn't that the translation? What is it? What I mean? How do they translate this in the English or in the Judaica press? To guard. To guard. So he's saying, maybe he touched upon it a little bit differently. To guard. But in this context, chesed v'emes, man is prepared yin tziruhu. To guard, which really in this context, it means to protect. See, guard and protect is not the same thing. Maybe it is. What am I asking? Melech oizer Moshiach umogain.
We talk about chesed here. So we have notzer chesed.
Notzer chesed. What I'm asking is, you say every day in davening, three times, day melech oizer Moshiach umogain. Why don't we say melech oizer Moshiach? What's the v'noitzer? V'noitzer. That Hashem should be our noitzer. Doesn't it say that in this pasuk? Chesed yemes man yin siru. Melech oizer Moshiach v'noitzer. Hashem is our guard. Why do we say the word umogain? What exactly is the difference between the word mogain, a shield, what we take as a shield, and the word noitzer is...
Maybe mogain is protecting when there is this imminent danger that is already perceivable, and you'd be mogain from it, and yinsu's guard us from a not yet existing.
It's very interesting. I really like what you're saying. Okay, we have to prove it to be true. A scientific theory has to be proved, otherwise we become conspiracy theorists. So what is
The Eben Ezra always does, he gave quotes of
I'm stuck, right, to see the context. Right. So
what's the difference between Ozer, Moshiach,
and so that's
Ozer is to help us when we
God helps those who help themselves.
Moshiach is when we call out to him that we're having the
Hashem takes the initiative. Well, the grow, the very word is umogain, protect, status quo.
Is causing us any problems.
So you're asking another question: Are the terms of Melech Ezer Moshiach Mogain are they interrelated? That the word Mogain can only be defined after you build a foundation of Oizer Umoshia. You just can't say the word Mogain by itself. Or maybe, because look, you conclude the bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem, Mogain Avraham. So that seems to indicate that the word Mogain is a stand-alone concept. It does not need a foundation of Oizer Umoshia. Because if the word Mogain can only be the cap, can be the conclusion of Oizer Umoshia, you would be required to make the Kulu the Baruch HaTo Hashem, Melech Oizer Moshiach Mogain. But we do not do that. Baruch HaTo Hashem, Mogain Avraham. Which would seem on a very simple level to indicate that the word Mogain is completely, completely independent of the word Oizer Umoshia.
There's explanations on that.
There are many, right, there are Ayin, Paramutar, there are many, many perushim what this means.
Is the spiritual and the physical in that Oizer Moshiach Mogain? Break it up that which Abraham was a spiritual, the other one. There's different ways to do that.
So then why is the end alone? So the reason why I'm trying to bring the first of all, the word in English, I mean the word guard and a shield, you know, English is not precise. You can't we're just so brainwashed how to translate words. But the concept is basically the same. There is a certain degree of protection. And they're both very similar. And here in this pasuk, it is interesting because it is preceded with a very abstract concept, chesed, and emes, man, which is a very strange word to put over here in this pasuk, kindness and truth should be prepared to bring about this word, nitzira, protection. Okay, Mogain is preceded by Oizer Umoshia. I told you to me, I don't know. I'm just throwing around things, just popping into things that are just, you know, that are, what exactly is going on here? What exactly does this word over here mean? How does it differ than the word Mogain? All right, let's leave it for now. The word man. Now, this is very interesting over here. I think I forgot if it was the Radak or the Malbim. It's the Radak about days. Exactly how long he wants to live. Something very, very bizarre. How long he's going to live? Pasik. Let's go look at the pasik Zion. Yamim al yimei melech im al dor omar zelatzmoy im al David. Okay, so we learned the mitzvah of David and Rashi. L'chor is referring to David. David over here is talking about himself, which is very strange. Since when does David refer to himself in third person? Come on, someone show me. You have this intent. It's very Yamim al Yimei Melech Toisef. He talks about I'm the king, and days on the. This is not David's style. I don't know, the flavor doesn't seem right. Something doesn't seem right over here. If you want to say Dov's referring to his descendant, Dov's referring to maybe David didn't write this. Maybe this was written Tzfilu L'Moshe. Who wrote this?
If he's speaking about his own chesed and emes, maybe then he doesn't want to speak about himself.
Oh, so he's saying very good. He doesn't want but he does talk about this. I think there are many mizmarim that David is very personal. Hashem, I did this. Remember what I did. Zecharis oni. You know, for some reason, it doesn't sit well that David would talk about himself as, you know, I am. I'm the Melech. I'm Oisek and Chesed and Emes. And therefore, I make demands. This is what the Mitzvah David says. You can't, this is what most of the Rishonim seem to say. Not necessarily the Targum. Look at the Targum.
He's speaking of himself as Melech?
Yeah.
Well, that's very common. You know, the majestic plural, right?
You gotta stand up for yourself, okay? You gotta stand up for yourself. But you don't...
He's not standing up for himself. He's standing up for his Kavod HaMalchus.
Okay. The whole Tehillim is like that. Kavod HaMalchus. Kavod HaTorah. Kavod HaTorah.
Right. So each time, the Rav doesn't do because of his own Kavod. He has to have a certain amount of decorum in the
shulchan. Shminis shebeshminis. You have to have a shtickle gaiva. Im ein ani li mi li. Absolutely. All right. It has to be. But look at the Targum. The Targum says, Yoimin le olma de ose al yoimei malka meshicha. Okay, so right away the Targum disagrees with this whole mahalach. He says, Yoimin, days of le ose love, le olma de ose, the world. Yomim oilom haba. May you grant days of olam haba la olma de'ase, the world that will come, not this world, al yoimei, on the days of malka mashiach toisef. What does that mean exactly? Add to the days of the melech mashiach. So David is not referring to himself because David is not the melech mashiach, at least not in his lifetime. Shinoi heich, his years should be like the dorei. All Mohadein, the generations of this world, the Dore and the generations, all Mohde Ose. It should be like the combination of the years of Ba'olma in this world and in the next world. I have no idea what this means. What in the world is he talking about? But one thing at least he says, we're dealing over here with the Melech HaMashiach, we're not dealing with he himself, and we're dealing with a request that the Melech HaMashiach should be granted more days in Olam Haba, and his years should be equal to the years of Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. Okay, if you want to go talk about esoteric things, this is a great place to start. Now look at the Radak. The Radak says, I don't know who we're talking about. Are we talking about David? Is he talking about himself? Or is he talking about someone else? Who's he talking about? So he says over here, Im al David Amar, Im al David, if this refers to David on page 533, Amar Zelatzmoy, ki nimshach hayu lemelech, because he was nimshach to be the king. Vispal David lokel alatzmoy, sheyaruch yam av Yosef lo yam, al yam shaksum loy, kumoy shnem v'chizkiyahu, hinne Yosef al yamecha, Hashem, I'm going to add to your days, v'yosavti al yamecha. Fine, so therefore, very, the first starts off, presents the same idea that we saw in the Mitzudos David. David is referring to himself and he's making a request, Hashem, grant me long life. V'yim al ha-golos. If this mizmah, this was the Radak's theme in this entire mizmah from beginning to end over here, that we're going over here, the theme is, are we dealing with golos, or are we dealing with, it's a nevuah, it's a prophecy for golos. V'yim al ha-golos, ha-melech hu, ha-melech Mashiach. Not like what it says in the Targum, Yonasan. Malcha Mashiach, Malcha Mashiach, who a Melech HaMashiach. K'moy dor v'odor, shnei doyros. V'ador hu shnei chaye adam. Another explosive thing. He should live 140 years. The Melech HaMashiach should live 140 years. Why 140 years? What's the pshat of 140 years? How many years are there left until Mashiach? Until 60 years, 6,000? Who's a good mathematician over here? 277 years left until 6,000? So that year is only saying 140 years. The Melech HaMashiach should live for 140 years. So that means if the Melech HaMashiach is going to live for 140 years, how old will he be when he arrives on the scene? What?
What's the sea?
217. No, this is. That's right, we're so spoiled. So 217, so make a cheshbon over here. Make a calculation over here. Okay, let's make a calculation over here. Okay. 217 years left until the year 6,000. Okay? Now, over here it says the Melech HaMashiach should live for 140 years. So, that's 217 minus 140, 77. How old will the Melech HaMashiach be when he reveals himself? How old do you think he's going to be? Moshe was 80 years old. Right? He was 80 years old, the Goel Rishon. There's the Goel Rishon. So therefore, let's make an assumption. Let's make an assumption that the Goel Rishon, that Moshe is going to also be 80 years old when he says, I got good news, Rabbi Yisai, Amashiach. Amashiach. Do you know what that means? It means, and when is Mashiach going to come? Mashiach is going to come on Pesach. So that means, Erev Pesach, Rabbi Yisai, is the upsharon of the Melech HaMashiach. What? Eliyahu Hanavi comes before Mashiach. So Mashiach, it says over Mashiach is going to, it says, grant Mashiach the lifespan of the life of the Mashiach 140 years. That's what it says in the Radak. If we're dealing with Golas, look at the words of Golas. It says over here, in the Yitzhak al-Jaymecha, Im al-Golas, ha-melechu melech Mashiach, k'moy davidar, shenei doyreis, ve-hador hu shnei chayei adam. If a person lives 70 years, two generations, this Radak over here is saying is the Melech HaMashiach is going to this Zman. I'm saying interpretation over here, and what I'm saying certainly is nonsense, but I just want to bring out, you know, to bring out some, wake everyone up. It says here in this Radak that the Melech HaMashiach is going to generations, is two generations. Now, L'chor, that means there's going to be a minimum. Achishena, Mashiach can come today. But a minimum, it says over here, David is being mispalal. Hashem is not going to reject the prayer of David HaMelech. If David was mispalal, the Melech HaMashiach's years as Melech HaMashiach is 140 years. If there are only 217 years left until the year 6000, and we have a tradition that the year 6000 is the end, whatever that means, and we have a tradition, that means Mashiach has to come in how many years? In 77 years. Mashiach, the last time Mashiach can come is in 77 years from now. And if Mashiach is going to come in 77 years from now, and we're making another major assumption that he will be 80 years old when he reveals himself, because Moshe was 80 years old when he revealed, he was the Gol Rishon, and this is the Gol Acharon. So that means the Mashiach was born 3 years ago. He's out there. Check out all the three-year-olds out there. That is the Be'ita. Mashiach can come, Avada, Be'ita, Achi, Shene can come now. But according to what it says over here in this Radak, we make this wild calculation, wild beyond wild, just to wake us up that, you know, Mashiach is a real thing. Mashiach will one day come. And then when he will come, it will be just so obvious where it says all these numbers, all these calculations.
And your calculation is going to be 80 when he comes and then go another 100.
Yes, I'm making that assumption.
Why 80 plus 140? Why is the 80 part of this 100?
Because I want him to come already. That's why. I want him to come. I don't know where he's going to be born in 100. He's first going to be born in 77 years, and then he'll reveal himself 5 minutes before the year 6000. Post, but we have another tradition that says in the year 6000 it's over. Listen, I'm just saying total nonsense over here, obviously, but we're trying to make a calculation to wake us up that it's a reality. Rav Palm, one thing I remember, Rav Palm, he moved me very much. Rav Palm said this is many years ago. It's very frightening when it's ready. It didn't really seem to come true what he said. He said, I remember him standing, and he was like in a daze almost. He says, I don't think Mashiach's, I can't say the Mashiach's coming in my lifetime. He was towards the end of his life. He was a zaken, and is Mashiach going to come in my lifetime? Being realistic, doesn't seem like it. But one thing I can tell you, one thing he said, like he says with certainty. Mashiach will come in the lifetime of the children today. Go across the street into elementary school, and there are children, the Tinoikoy Shol Beis Rabban, all over Klal Yisrael, they will live to be Mekabel Pnei Mashiach. The Tinoikoy Shol Beis Rabban. The world is advancing, the world is just spiraling out of control. There's no way it's not going to be. It just has to happen. That Mashiach will come in the Alder HaTeva, will come in the lifetime of the Tinoikoy Shol Beis Rabban you see today. Therefore, he says about 20 years ago he said this. Therefore, what? I know. But he said, it's going to come in there. L'may nafkamina, this is the clincher. L'may nafkamina, the parents and the Rebbeim, who may not live to see Mashiach, because the same way I don't see it happening in my lifetime, I can't see, maybe the parents and the, you know, who are the Rebbeim, who says they'll come in your lifetime? But one thing you should know, you parents and you Rebbeim, you are raising the Dor Shel Mashiach. And therefore the achrayos that you have as a Rebbe, as a parent, to raise your child al taharas hakodesh is enormous. You're going to go take your kid, send your kid to some non-kosher entertainment, you're going to let him go, a chalamoy trip, yeah, send him to a non-kosher, you're going to have a television in the house, you're going to have this, you're going to have that, and you're going to let the child absorb things that are not proper. How is this child then going to go and be makabel the Pnei Melech HaMashiach? The achrayos that you have to raise this generation is enormous, because we could say for sure, when we look around in this world, where it's heading, Mashiach, within 70 years, Mashiach's going to come. So you're raising the Dor Shel Mashiach. That's an incredible achrayos.
Excuse me, you probably learned your Rashi already in Pasuk Zayin.
Yes.
Why does Rashi mean Kamoi Shnei Dor V'Dor? Two Dors are...
No, one door. Rashi learns Pashat is 70 years. Rashi says, not like the Radak, Rashi says that David is saying, if it was meant, we quoted the Medrash, David was meant to live only 3 hours. Hoshana Shaloi Shois Hoshana. And David was mispalel, whatever this means, how could this pure neshama only live for 3 hours? He was meant to die as a bachur, okay, he was a tinoik. And Hashem, he added, Hoisef Yomim al Yomai, don't let me die 3 hours old, add days al yomai, so I can live a normal life. And what is a normal life? 70 years. How? The, it's an expression. The years of a generation.
Means from one generation to the next.
70 years. It's an expression. Shnei, the years of a typical generation. No, not Rashi. Not Rashi. Rashi says Shnei means the years of, when you repeat the word, you mean, let me live the years of a typical generation. Shnei dar v'dar, and Rashi says explicitly 70. 70. Rashi explicitly. Al yomai sheyiyu shivim shana. Kamo shnei dar v'dar. Like the years a person lives in a typical generation.
Someone told me yesterday by Kiddush Levona, he said, Rabbi Melchizedek, chai v'kayo. But he was living 70, he lived 70 years. But he took it from Adam Arishon.
Right.
Was supposed to live
1,000 years.
Okay.
And these are esoteric things. Okay, but Adam Arishon gave David his years after he did the chait. So it wasn't any more chai v'kayim. After, but Adam was still the yitzir kapa of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So the Radak over here clearly says over here, Shnei Doros, two generations, Vahador Hu, and the Dor is Hu Shnei, the years of Chaye Adam. One Dor is 70 years. And he's asking Dor Vodor, the Radak is making a drasha, Shnei Doros, two generations. And what is a Dor? A Dor is the typical number of years that a person lives. It's a very bizarre prayer. You ever had this? I never heard this before, such a concept. That the Melech HaMashiach should live for two generations. Should live 140 years. Never heard something like this before. Why? Either you live 70 years, you live forever. I mean, where does this 170 times two go? What does that mean? Well, you want to live 240 years? You want to say that? You want to say it means like the years who shnei chaye Adam? Who says the years of man is the years of man are 70? It says by Adam v'yu shanav me'av eshem shana. Even though the pshuta shel mikra means that the mabul will take place in 120 years, everyone takes that at me'av eshem. Where does it say me'av eshem? It comes from Noach. It says v'hayu yomav after Adam sinned after the mabul. V'hayu yomav is before the mabul. V'hayu yomav mea v'esrim shana. That pasuk there, lefi pshuta shel mikra, means is that I'm fed up with this world already. I'm going to give man another 120 years until I destroy the world. It has nothing to do with the lifespan of a human being. For some reason, we have embraced that expression. We have taken it out of context. And we have used it to define man lives 120 years. Is that what the pasuk says? So that only compounds our obsession that v'hayu yomav means man will live 120 years. Again, the pshuta shel mikra, the raw translation of that pasuk, has nothing to do with the lifespan of a human being. It's just a calculation. Hashem is telling us there will be a mabul, will come to this world and destroy the world in 120 years. That's all it means, l'fi pshuta shel mikra. We've taken that expression and we've used it out of context that the lifespan of a person is 120 years. Just like ki ha'adam eitz ha'sadeh. What is that pasuk? Man is like a tree. It doesn't say that in the pasuk anywhere. The pasuk says, don't chop down the trees because the trees didn't do anything to you. If you're laying siege to a city, if there is a terrorist hold up in a city and you want to kill the terrorists or the terrorists, the plural, you want to get rid of them, don't chop down the trees. The trees are not terrorists. They didn't do anything to you. They didn't do anything, so don't kill them. Ki ha'adam eitz ha'sadeh. You have to read it backwards. Is the tree a man who has caused you pain and harm that you have to destroy the tree? Bal tashchis. For some reason, we've taken that pasuk and we've taken it out of context and we said, oh, what a beautiful pasuk. The pasuk compares a human being to a tree. Chazal do this, so this is legit. Okay, we do this. Like the other pasuk, everyone sings to the song. Everyone sings to the song of Ish Esrei Eyu Yoimar Chazak. Each man will say to his friend, be strong. Chazak. We had this after not long ago. What does the pasuk mean in this context? It means when you go to the store to buy an idol, and you have a catalog, you have custom made, and you provide the best wood and the best metal and the best materials, the best nails, and you stand there by the craftsman and you tell him, Chazak, when you make my idol, pay close attention to detail, be strong and focus on making a beautiful idol. How could it be that we all sing by a chasna, Ish El Re'er Yom Chazak, in the melody, when there is come out no commentator that does not interpret that pasuk in the most negative way possible? The answer is, that's what you do. You take things out of context, and you twist it, and you make it sound good. The Teichacha is this a klala, is Besar. I remember asking, what's the pasuk? Besar bonav ubenoy sav toichelu. You will eat the flesh of your own children. There could not be a bigger klala. And yet, Chazal says it's a bracha. It means you'll trust the kashrus of your children. You come to, it's not even a joke, you come to America, the people from the Altaheim, they came to the children, they completely assimilated, intermarried, they came to for Pesach, couldn't eat anything in the house.
His introduction to parent was that if you think that you can't prevent to be, you know, as far as you are and you give up, just remember they're going to walk you the last mile of your life, and then you won't be able to maintain your own standards if you don't push them to be on your level.
It's a bracha. It's a bracha that when you go to their home and they serve you basar, mibisar bonav uvnoisav techelu. When you go to your son and you go to your son-in-law, you can eat the kashrus. It's a tremendous bracha. It's the biggest bracha, in fact, that you raise a new generation of yireim usham. It's the biggest klala. It's the biggest klala, and it's the biggest bracha. All right, let's take a short break, and we'll learn some Haggadah. Tomorrow, if we have time.
Derek and Vaughan parents, and he says he wants a payment. That's all the favors.
We're having a shiur tomorrow. Tomorrow we're going to have a shiur. I know tomorrow what I might do, if I prepare, I want to we're going to go through the basic halachas. Instead of tomorrow doing a Navi, Tehillim, not a Tehillim, maybe tomorrow we're going to go through the Seder of the, not Drush in the beginning, just to go through all of the basic Yisoidas, the basic halacha of the Haggadah from beginning to end, and then some Jush if I have enough time to appear today. I don't know. We'll see. How much time I have to appear to today. It's a difficult. All right, everybody, sign.
Do me a favor.
Okay. I'll keep it in the computer, so I shouldn't forget. I'll fold it up in the computer. Yigal Nisamaras Miriam Etel Basra of Aaron Halevi. Okay, so I'll keep it in the computer, so I shouldn't forget for tomorrow.